Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is the main motivation that people have to research their possible Sephardic heritage? A number of years ago, we spoke with Abraham Garcia, who, using the pseudonym Juan José Ventura, told us about the fascinating personal journey he had undertaken to discover and document his Sephardic origins, going back to the expulsion from Spain in 1492. After the successful outcome of his search, he decided to apply his experience professionally and created Raíces Judías, an international company that does genealogical research with the goal of helping their clients return to Judaism, obtain Spanish nationality, and learn how to do this kind of research themselves. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Abraham. Could you tell us what Raíces Judías is and what you do?
Right now, we are trying to help people who are looking basically for their roots, okay? We have two kinds of people that are coming to us, people who want to know if they are Jewish, so mostly like crypto Jews that want to find out if they are actually able to trace back their genealogy back to somebody who was persecuted by the Inquisition. And we have also people who are actually looking just for the nationality. So our options are always like if you're looking for the nationality, for the Spanish nationality, any branch of the tree, of your family tree, who roots actually in a case of a Judaizer by the Inquisition will be enough to grant you the nationality. If you really want to know if you are Jew according to halachic rules, then we follow up only the maternal lineage.
I thought that to get the Spanish nationality, you also had to speak Spanish and know Spanish history and have an exam and all that stuff.
Yes, it's true. So in order to have the Spanish nationality, you have to be able to speak a certain level of Spanish, and you have to actually be able to follow up like a certain cultural test of what's going on in Spain, and you have to have like some connection with Spain, so it's not so easy. It's not just... But one of the most difficult part is to prove that you were a descendant from the people who were expelled from Spain. That for Jews, it's not so difficult, because if we find out that they have like a Spanish family name and they are coming normally from the Mediterranean area, it's kind of easy to prove that they were Sephardic Jews. The big hassle comes from the people who think they are coming from the Jews, but they are not able to prove it. Okay, so this is where we are actually helping people out.
Well, I know somebody who was born in Latin America, in Colombia, and his family is Jewish, but they came through Spain, Portugal, Amsterdam, Curaçao, Venezuela, Colombia, and they didn't exactly keep records in those days if they were fleeing. So how can you trace people like that who don't really have a paper trail? Okay. Or can't you do it?
First, we can only do what we can do. We cannot do magic. So only if we are able to trace back the genealogy, we are actually able to produce. So there might be cases of people who are not able to prove. And if they are not able to prove, I can check for you if there is some records that you still didn't check for. Most of the time, people come to me without having actually look everywhere. So there is still a possibility to look at, you know, like, okay, did you try to find out this birth certificate? Did you try to find out the marriage certificate from your grandfather? If they are here in this area, we know that there are. So now, how do I do it? I have a team of people that is helping me out. So I'm working with a lot of genealogists that are spread all across Latin America, Puerto Rico, Canary Islands, the Azores, Spain. So it's kind of easier, you know, like if you tell me I'm coming from Colombia and I know my grandfather was coming from Suriname and I have a piece of paper, then I contact the person who's working in Suriname, who told me, okay, they came from Puerto Rico, and then, okay, I have somebody else in Puerto Rico helping out, okay, they built up another tree, and the last one was coming from Canary Islands. I have another researcher in Canary Islands who's able to connect, because we are able to trace back from where were you coming. Now, if we are successful, not every time we we are successful, okay? But we are actually, I would say 80% of the time, we are able to trace back, like, the genealogy, if they are willing to pay all the people they have to pay. Because it's not that we are like a foundation or something. We don't have, like, resources. We have to pick the genealogists. They have to pay for my time. They have to. So it's not cheap. It's not also so expensive, okay? Like $2,000, you're able to build up a whole genealogy from scratch. If you're lucky, it might be cheaper, okay? Depending on how many countries they pass. Now, the more countries, the more expensive it becomes. But at the same time, we have all the resources to build up this kind of very complicated genealogies that when I started doing this, it was impossible. So it took me 7 years to do something that, if you're putting the money, it takes me now like 3 months to build up like the whole tree.
Now, you're based in Jerusalem, right? Does that make it easier or harder, or doesn't it matter?
It doesn't really matter. What we have is like the National Library of Jerusalem, which is very well equipped. So I have not most of the books that I need to do the research, I'm able to find them there. So they have a very good section on Anusim, on Inquisition. So it doesn't really matter, but it doesn't really affect me. So it's the same. It will be the same everywhere.
How did you learn how to do this? Are you self-taught? Is there any way people can learn how to do this?
I'm teaching actually sometimes courses on how to learn to do the genealogical stuff. I learned it by myself. I also have the story. This is I dig my own genealogy, so I have to build up 15 generations to be able to be accepted as a Jew, because I was born in a Christian family. So basically, I learned by working out my own genealogy. This is how I learned it. I was kind of self-taught.
Do you have any special difficulties when you're looking for people's roots?
We have a lot of difficulties. Main difficulty is that the church has been burned, and then all the records are destroyed. Or the whole archive has been burned. Like, for example, the Inquisition in Valladolid, the whole archive was burned when the French Revolution came here to Spain. So we have a lot of difficulties in a lot of areas. You know, like, it's not easy. One of the main difficulties is we never know what we have to research, because we start and we never know in which area you are, you are finalizing your tree. We don't know which Inquisition records we will need to use, you know. We know some of them are in Madrid, some of them are in the Canary Islands, some of them are in Torre de Tombo. So it's very difficult to actually really know in which tribunal you have to look. It can be that you are in Valladolid, you are in Soria, then Murcia. I don't know, where are the records from Murcia? They are in the church from Murcia. They are not digitalized, so we have a lot of problems. We have to send somebody there or whatever, so... We have, like, I will spend hours speaking about the difficulties we have.
Do most of the people do this because they want Spanish nationality? Is that the motivation mostly?
Actually, I will say they are more curious to know if they are Jews. They are more curious because they always heard that there was like one grandfather that was called the Jew, and they think that they were Jews, but they are not sure. So it's more the uncertainty that they have. And then on the other side, when they know they are Jews, it's more this willingness to connect to Spain, but more in a, I will even call it in a romantic way, that actually to have the nationality. Because most of the people that are applying, some people have business here in Spain and they need this nationality. But in my case, it's like 20% of them will be like interested in the nationality. The other 80 is more interested in the romantic part of being connected to Sepharad, the old Sepharad, you know, and I want to have this because it's like my grandfather spoke Ladino. And so it's more romantic. I would say it's more romantic in most of the cases than practical.
Do any of them want to go back to Judaism to make Aliyah and use this as proof?
Yes, some people are not interested in the nationality, they are only interested in knowing if they are Jews. So most of these people are Spaniards. So they are Spaniards, and we don't need the nationality, but we want to know if we are Jews. So we work like in a bridge of people and cultures that are coming back to somewhere from an origin, you know, like which was common, and they were left in one side or the other of the definition of religion. I'm also finding out that crypto Jews are a problem. You know, it's more a problem for everybody. For the Christian, it's a problem, the situation of the crypto Jews. For the Jews, it's also a problem. What to do with us? You know, like, what the hell are you? You know, you are nothing and you are everything at the same time. So it's not easy. It's not easy.
Have you run into any particular legal problems or problems with the Federation?
The Federation sometimes, like, we started working, they want to check out all the documents that we produce. So we produce a document that is 30 pages and there are copies of everything. Then they start asking for the documents, for the original documents. We send them the original documents, then they ask no, but we want to see the place where they say that it's the Jew, that the original document that we have is an Inquisition record. If you want, I can send it to you. So I send the original record where it was written that this person was a Jew and was persecuted by being Judaizer. And then they basically answer, we are not able to read this because it's written in all scripture, you know, like from the 15th generation. And they say, this is useless for us because, but I have to say, I don't have more, you know. If I make the transcription because I'm able to read this scripture, you will not accept it because I have done it myself. And if I send you the original, you are not also to do it. Now, with the return and with everything, I ran into a lot of problems because I was accepted as a Jew after building up my tree. I'm making the 15th generation. I was accepted as a Jew here in Spain by the main rabbi of Spain. He says that I was a Jew, so I could go back to Sevilla and pray inside the synagogue and be counted in the minyan. Now, when I tried to make Aliyah with that paper, it was another whole of a mess. Like the whole Rabbanut make a lot of problems. It was very, very difficult. So I have run into a lot of problems everywhere.
How long have you been doing this?
I think I started like wondering if I was a Jew around 2003, really starting to work 2007, and from 2000, no, a little bit earlier, 2005, I started like researching deeply. I think I got the return 2009. I did Aliyah 2012.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this professionally for other people?
For other people, since September 2015, I think. So a couple of years.
How many people have asked you for help, and how many people have you been successful with?
A lot of people have asked for help. I don't know, across this, I don't know, maybe 100 people. A lot of people are not seriously interested. A lot of people are not willing to pay. So we have kind of put like a basic payment of $100 to review all the documents, to kind of select the people who are willing to pay or not, because we cannot do this on a voluntary basis. I don't know how many emails, nationalities, like I say, we have built like maybe 33 around 2 years. It takes like around 6 months to build up the whole tree. 6 months, 2 a year, more or less, depending on the difficulty. And then we have built up like around 30, I will say. I'm not 100% sure. Out of every main record, there are a lot of people around them, a lot of family that comes with them. So if you build up a whole tree, then you have like the sons and the cousins and the uncles and all these people. So in general, in total, I think around, from the Anusin, 100. From the Anusin, probably around another one good 100 people we have sent.
Can you give some examples of the kind of people who you accept and who you reject?
Okay, so it is very difficult because it says the law is given to the Jews that were expelled in 1492. So we have the case of somebody that is called Lañado, for example, that is coming from Iran. And we have a bunch of problems there. Why? First problem is like, we don't have any papers that prove that they are coming from Iran. So they only have papers that they came to make Aliyah in Israel. But if you come to Israel, you can put whatever name you want. And they were not able to trace the origin of the name. So if you're coming from Iran, technically you're not Sephardic, because you are part of the Jews. You are not Ashkenaz, but you are not from the Jews that were expelled from Spain. You know, these people probably also arrived there after the expulsion of the first temple. So according to the law, they will not be accepted. And then we have another case from Iran also, but it's a very clear case of a family name that is a very Sephardic family name. Lañado, for example, I don't find anybody persecuted in the Inquisition with the Lañado. Now, we have another name that is Maguen, for example. Maguen, I don't find Maguen, but I find like Escudero, okay? Escudo, Escudero. These names are translation to Hebrew from Spanish. And I find that these people are coming from a village in Iran. that was not existing before the expulsion. And they, all the Jews that arrived and built up that village was dealing with silk, with the silk trade. And they were coming from Spain and they were Sephardic Jews. And this family is coming from that trace. So in that case, it's a different case because we know that even though they went to Iran, we know that they actually left from Spain. Or we are at least able to trace the family name. Now, I can talk forever. I don't know how much time we have here.
Can you tell us something about your future plans, how this is going to evolve?
I mean, I will be really happy. Like, we need like a serious investment of money to be able to work on the list, on the people that have been persecuted, on the research that has been done to digitalize everything. They are already working. We need somebody that is able to use those data. Like, the information is there, but somebody that is able to swim quickly through the data and be able to help people. So probably the plans, I never wanted to end up doing this. I am here, I'm doing it, I'm happy to do it. I don't know how it's going to evolve. I will be very happy if we have like a founder or whatever that is willing to raise, like make a serious research center. And then we could train a couple of people who's actually helping out, like to do the same work we are doing.
You mentioned the idea of programs of diffusion and education.
We have, I'm always thinking, I'm a big lover of the podcast format. And I think it's about time to tell what happened with the Sephardic Jews. You know, like many stories that we don't know. Like, for example, the synagogue in New York. Okay, the first synagogue, Jewish synagogue in New York, is the Sephardic synagogue from New York. In all America, this was founded like around 1600 something, and it was founded not by Jews but by Anusim. So what happened with these people from the expulsion to the moment that they founded the synagogue, nobody really knows, but these people existed. So what I'm finding out, that they existed throughout all the history. Constantly, rabbis have been dealing with that, and it's only recently, on the last 100 years, that the state of Israel has been generated and the rabbinut is getting strength, that this whole thing is becoming more dark. So it's about time to tell what happened to them. What is the story? What is the pain, the suffer? It was also part of the Jewish story, and it has been forgotten by the state of Israel. So a people like the Jewish people, who sit every Pesach to remember something that happened 3,000 years ago, cannot claim that something that happened 500 years ago is not important. So it's about to raise the consciousness of what is happening. You know, it's, we have to work in Israel. We have to work outside of Israel. You know, the audience is different. The story is different. So it's a lot of work to be done.
Are you doing anything at all with Beit HaTfutzot, the Museum of the Jewish Diaspora in Israel? Because I know that they're working with genealogy also.
I try a couple of times to actually go there and see if they have like some serious database of something, you know, that I could use for the research. They have basically, a couple of times that I went there, they told me we don't have anything. We have just only people who came here to register what they wanted to register, but we are not able to trace. There is a new center of genealogical research in Jerusalem that is trying to build up different pieces. It's not just Sephardic, it's also Ashkenaz. But it's not enough, it's not serious, it's not, I don't know how to say, it's not continuous. You have to go there and spend a lot of hours digging. So it becomes a work of handicraft work, you know, like you really have to spend a lot of hours and think how to do it. It's not something that you can, I don't know how to say, like go there, check in your computer, find out, you know. It's like something really requires a lot of personal input.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we might have left out?
Not that I think of. If you want to hear like the beginning of the story, because this second interview, you can search in the archive. I did the previous interview under pseudonymous Juanjo Ventura, Juan José Ventura, so you can actually find me on the internet. You can find also like on the archive from Radio Sefarad.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner @RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.